All right, so. Wow, all my team's like up and left somewhere else. Guess I should have told them there was gonna be t-shirts. They'd have stuck around. Anyways, we're so glad that you guys are joining us. We're happy that we get to give you a little piece of what NYC felt like for us, because this guy is phenomenal. I've sat in, I think now on like 4 of your sermons. There's not been one that I wasn't ferociously taking notes. So I'm really excited to hear what God's put on his heart this morning. This session is gonna be hungry for more. So I hope that even though you ate, you're still hungry in a different way. Pastor Shane Lima, please come and share with us.
I'll take that mic. How are we doing, everybody? We feeling good? It's been a great day so far. It really is such a joy, a huge privilege for me just to be able to be part of this values conference and just see all the amazing things that are happening on this district. And before we kind of proceed, I just wanted to give a moment just to shout out just the incredible leadership of our NYI president and the NYI council. Can we just thank God for Pastor Melissa and everybody that's serving, Kayla. So grateful for their leadership. We just had a breakout earlier today about what is NYI, and as I was just sitting here in my seat hearing about all the incredible things that are happening on this district and happening in this field, you know, in the MNU field, it's just awesome to see that God is stirring something, and the field youth coordinator said this, and I couldn't agree more, that young people, the youth, young adults are not the church of the future, but they are the church of right now. They are the church of today. And that is so true. Of course, we invest and we believe that our young people are going to carry that legacy forward into another generation. But right now, it's the move of God that's happening right now. And it was such an honor for me to be part of NYC last summer, July 2023. We were in Tampa Bay, Florida. To kind of get a measure of the room, I don't know if there's anybody here that was at NYC other than the leaders. Was anybody else at NYC? All right, we got a couple people here that were there. Incredible, incredible time. And just, I still think back fondly to, and I find myself on YouTube watching the services over again, and celebrating what God did. But also just looking ahead, because in a couple years' time, we'll be in Salt Lake City. And I'm just celebrating all that the Lord is doing in the lives of our young people. And so I came from Rhode Island this morning just to share a word. And I know that this is a conference, and so this is a breakout session, and we kind of spin it in the way to be equipped and all. But for today, I really want to just spend some time in God's Word, because I believe that there is no greater way for us to be equipped and encouraged and motivated in all the areas of life and ministry that we're in than to be centered in God's Word. And so I'm a preacher at heart, and I want to do a little bit of preaching, but also a little bit of just dialogue at the end, where we can talk about all the great things that God is doing in your churches and here in Missouri. So am I saying that right, Missouri? I hear different people say it different ways. It's not Missouri, right? That's not... All right, there we go. That's my answer. I have heard the weird Missouri thing, and I've never known if that was correct or not, but it is Missouri. Missouri. All right, word. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into what God has for us. Lord God, we love you. We thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for Missouri, for this great place that you are doing some special things. Not only in NYI, but you're doing some special things on this district and on this field. And Lord, I just pray that in this session that we would have a little taste of church, that we'd be able to gather together around the Word and be challenged by it. Lord God, I pray that this would not just be time that's just, yeah, we checked it off and we went to a breakout, but I pray that this would be kind of the shot in the arm, the encouragement, the booster that we need for every area of ministry and service that we're in. And so, God, I thank you for incredible leaders and people that are serving in so many ways. And I just pray, Holy Spirit of God, would you have your way in this session? We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So I'm going to center us around the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus says this: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Just last year, my wife and I moved into our first home. We've been married for a good while. We have a one-year-old, and as soon as we had our son, we were in an apartment building before, but as soon as we had our son and he was crying at all hours of the day and night, we really got started on like looking for a home. We needed to move into our own place so that we wouldn't get the cops called on us for all this crying that's happening in all the days of the day and night. So we got a place, and I'm a pastor, so I have to like function as an extrovert in certain settings. Like you gotta kind of just put it on. But my baseline, my normal state is I'm an introvert. And so if I'm in like a social setting, if I'm in a public area, I'm not really that guy that comes in and makes a big deal. I'm sort of like, you know, just kind of a little bit of an introvert. So we moved onto our street, and I'm not gonna be that guy that's knocking on the neighbor's door. I'm not gonna be that guy that's, you know, I'm here to live, I'm not here to make friends kind of a thing. And so we moved into the neighborhood, but my neighbor across the street is clearly an extrovert, like an extrovert's extrovert. So I walk out my front door one day, there he is standing at his front door, and he is waving at me from across the street. So here we go, my introverted self needs to come out of its shell, and so I wave, and then he starts kind of getting closer to me, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be not only a wave, this is now a conversation, so now it's kicking me a little bit more out of my comfort zone, and then what ensued after was a full-blown conversation. He's welcoming me to the neighborhood. I feel bad at this point. I'm like, I'm a pastor. I really need to love people a little bit better, and so I'm having a great conversation with him. I get to know his name. His name is James. He's lived there for a while. He's a high school teacher, and then he's telling me about things that are in our neighborhood. And then he says, have you ever been to Central Ave Bakery? And I said, no, I've never been to Central Ave Bakery. He said, well, you gotta go to Central Ave Bakery. That place has the best pastries, the best coffee, best breakfast sandwiches, hot buffet for lunch. Like, you, if you've never been there, you need to go to Central Ave Bakery. So he's talking it up. Maybe 2-3 minutes of just talking about Central Ave. He goes there every weekend. He loves it. Goes there all the time. So I said, awesome to meet you, James. Pleasure to be in the neighborhood. Thank you for telling me about the neighborhood. He kind of gave me a little bit of the scoop of who lives around and everything. I get in my car. This is like a Tuesday morning. I'm supposed to go to church that day. That morning, I get in my car, turn on the car, and instead of going to church, where do I end up? Central Ave Bakery. So I pull up to Central Ave Bakery and I walk in, and I'm that guy that's showing up to a place for the first time, kind of trying to figure it out. They have the menu up on the thing. I walk up to the counter, and this guy, kind of a construction type, slick back hair, says, he kind of can tell that I am new. He said, have you ever been to Central Ave Bakery before? I said, no. And he gives me almost the same speech that James gave me 5 minutes before, talking about the pastries, the coffee, the hot lunch buffet, the whole thing. It's almost like this is a cult and they all know the speech. So he gives me the whole deal. And so I'm kind of trying to, you know, determine what I'm going to get. And I don't know if you're like me, but I don't typically eat breakfast food in the morning. I have like a cup of coffee and I just kind of eat my lunch later on in the day. This is first thing in the morning. I am there. I'm a man that doesn't eat breakfast. And there I am ordering not one breakfast sandwich, but two. And I am leaving there with pastries. And I'm leaving there with a coffee and a coffee for my wife. And a guy that doesn't eat breakfast ends up leaving Central Ave Bakery with a handful of food. And so I ask myself the question, how does that happen? How do you go from being a person that doesn't eat breakfast to actually going to a place and ending up with all that food in your hands? It's because I heard a testimony, and that testimony took me to the source, and that source showed me the evidence, and then my hunger followed. My basic tenet, my basic principle for us this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is that hunger follows pursuit. We think that we pursue what we hunger, but I think that what you pursue determines your hunger. What you are chasing after is going to determine what you hunger for. I showed up at Central Ave Bakery, and as soon as I saw all the evidence, then my hunger began to grow. And I think that the same thing goes for the things of God. I think when you put yourself in an environment where you can see God at work, your hunger for Him begins to grow. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, if the scripture tells us that there are those that do hunger, then there are also those that do not hunger for the things of God. And as leaders, teens, whatever situation you're in here at this conference today, I want to talk about three basic reasons why we lose our appetite for the things of God. And I don't want to just kind of bring those things up so that we can sort of meditate on why we've lost it or why we don't have a hunger for God, but rather I want us to come forward with an understanding of those reasons so that we can ignite again a hunger for the things of God. That's my prayer for NYI. That's my prayer for your youth, your NYI president and your council and district leadership at every level, that we would be those leaders that help foster a hunger for the things of God. And in order for us to have hunger and appetite for the things of God, we got to know the reason why we don't or why we've lost it. And here's a few reasons that I think that we've lost hunger for the things of God. Number one, it's not really theological. It's really just practical. It's snacks. Snacks. Snacks is the reason why we lost. I was a youth pastor. Before I was a lead pastor, I was a young adult pastor. Before I was a young adult pastor, I was a youth pastor. I kind of think the way my route was just as I grew up, the title changed. And so I was a youth pastor for a while, and I remember being a youth pastor at camp. There was always that kid that never had a meal the entire week. Like, never, he never ate, like, the full meal, never had rice, all he ate was salt and vinegar chips the entire week. All he had was Swiss rolls. All he had was Twinkies. All he had was Starburst. All he had was Sour Patch Kids. And I remember seeing this kid, and up in New England, we'd had camp in the winter, and winter, it's like a winter retreat, and it's like negative 15 up in New Hampshire, and the kid is wearing shorts, and he didn't bring a blanket, and he's eating Sour Patch. I'm like, kid, how are you alive? How are you surviving? And he never had an entire meal because he was living that entire week off of the basis of snacks. And I think what happens in the physical happens in the spiritual, is that we're really not having an appetite for the things of God, for the depths of who God is and what God is serving, because we have been satisfied with the temporary pleasures of what the book of Hebrews says, the temporary pleasures of sin. Just these snacks that kind of just satisfy us for the moment. Satisfies us for the time being. It kind of just helps us go, and we get through the day, but nothing is really nurturing or satisfying us long term. And I think that what's happening in physical at the camp with the kid that eats Sour Patch Kids all week long is happening in youth groups. Sometimes we think snacks will keep the kids around, or we think that temporary things will keep the kids around. But what we truly need for our young people is an encounter with the depths of who God is. The love of Christ. The temporary things will come and go. The things that are popular will come and they will go. The pizza parties will come and they will go. The bowling nights will come and they will go. The quizzing will start and it will end. But the thing that will truly nurture and form us into the people that God has created us to be are the things that bring true nutrition, the love of God. So we can't base our entire life off of snacks. We can't base our entire programming off of snacks. And when I say snacks, I don't mean like physical snacks. I mean spiritual snacks. Just little things here and there. We have to give the full measure of who God is. Snacks won't satisfy. The second thing that I think happens, and this happens with our church kids, second thing that ruins our appetite for the things of God is familiarity. Familiarity. So this is kind of what I think of in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus goes to his hometown, and the most devastating part of that passage is that Jesus can do no miracles there. And it's not because Jesus has somehow lost power, but because he goes to his hometown and they say, isn't this Mary and Joseph's kid? Isn't this the son of the carpenter? Isn't this the one that we saw grow up? And the fact is not that he lost power, but that they grew too familiar. This happens with our church kids. They've been to the camps. Their parent sits on the church board. They've been to the assembly. They know the songs. They've done the program. They've memorized the quizzing book. They've been to every VBS. They've gone to every camp. They've been to every NYSC that they've been able to go to. It's all so familiar that we lose our wonder for who God is. And familiarity happens without us even realizing it. This happens at every level of the church, from young people to our veterans. We can sit so often in the pews of our church and be so used to the system that we miss the very presence of God in the room. We've done the songs, we've heard the sermons, we've been there, we've done that. And it's not that Jesus lost his power, it's that we grew too familiar with him. Tomorrow is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the day that we celebrate the birth of the church, where the Holy Spirit descended and where the disciples were sent out to spread the gospel. And my prayer for our church, my prayer for the Nazarene church, my prayer for NYI, my prayer for everything that we do is that God would pour out his Spirit again. That God would pour out his Spirit over our leaders. Guys, that God would pour out his Spirit over our district superintendents. That God would pour out his Spirit over our local churches. From the big churches to the small churches. From the big youth groups to the youth group with one student. That God would pour out his Spirit over this region. That we would have another Pentecost. That we would have a revival. That we, the people that have been doing this for a long time, would have the refreshing of the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer is, God, don't let us get so familiar with you that we lose the wonder of who you are. I love the theme for the upcoming NYC about wonder. It's about being in awe of who God is. And church, I think that people that have never met the Lord, they meet the Lord, they have an encounter with the Lord, and they are filled with awe and wonder. But we, the people that are part of the church, that are in the church, we need that renewed encounter with the Holy Spirit over and over again. Youth leaders, we need that encounter with the Holy Spirit over and over again. Students need it over and over again. We believe as Nazarenes that God's grace is at work, and we need that refreshing again and again and again. I don't want to miss the supernatural because I'm so used to who God is. I'm so accustomed to his word. I've read it. I've been in that Bible study. I went to that small group. I've been to that camp. I've heard that preacher before. I've sung that song. I think familiarity is a massive barrier to God moving in the church today. So I think old denominations like ours, and we're not even that old because there's denominations that are much older than us, but we've been around a while. If NYI is 100, how much older is the rest of our church? If we're 100 years old, then God, I believe, has a new thing that he wants to do in this day and age. There's new ways. There's new methods. There's new things, new strategies. And this is where we can't get it twisted. A new way of doing things doesn't mean we get rid of the message. We do it a new way with the old message. It's the same gospel. It's the same Bible. It's the same Jesus. But Lord, would you refresh it in our day? And so that's why we say that youth are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of right now. Because God is doing a new thing through NYI. God is doing a new thing in spaces like NYC. God is doing a new thing. And I want to be part of what God is doing today. Can somebody say amen in here? So that's what we want as the church. That's what we want as leaders. That's why we do conferences like this. We don't rent out somebody's church and do all these breakout sessions and have Jersey Mike's lunch for everybody and cookies for everybody just so we can say we did it. No, we're doing this, strategizing in this way so that God would once again encourage us, embolden us to go back to our churches and to seek his move for today. And then the last thing that I've noticed is this, is that we lose an appetite for the things of God because we have a mixed palate. What do I mean by that? I have a 1.5-year-old at home, and the journey of having a 1.5-year-old has been interesting. So the first 3 months of having a kid, I don't even remember because I was so sleep-deprived, tired, and regretful that it was a time. I was like, what have we done with our lives? We will never live again. We will never sleep again. We will never eat again. Life is over. That's what it felt like. a blur. And that's with one. You said you have seven children. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make the light of his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance and give you peace. In Jesus' name. I mean, I'm a Catholic, but you need it. But I had my one-year-old at home, and the first 3 months were tough. The next couple of months were fun because you start introducing foods, and they start recognizing you, and it's fun. And then now we're at a stage where the boy is just picky. Like, at the beginning, he would eat whatever we gave him. So it was sweet potatoes, he ate the sweet potatoes. It was broccoli, he would eat the broccoli. We'd give him veggies of any kind, fruits of any kind. He would gobble it up like it was the best thing ever. But since the boy has tasted a thing called mac and cheese, now he has deciphered and discerned that there are things that taste better than broccoli. He's had French fries, and he's had things that now he's able to decide, no, I want this and I don't want that. Isn't that what happens though when you mix your palate with what is healthy and what is unhealthy? Your palate's always going to go for the thing that is the unhealthiest, the thing that tastes the best but has the least value. And so that's what happens in the spiritual, is when we begin mixing palates. This is what Scripture says, those that draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far. This is what the Scripture refers to as those that, you know, kind of have one foot in this world, one foot in the other. We're kind of mixing our palate, and so we end up not hungering for God because we're mixing so much with the ways of the world. So my one-year-old preached a whole sermon to me by simply choosing mac and cheese over broccoli. And I think that happens when we begin mixing. And we start thinking that we can have it both ways, like a spiritual smoothie, where we can have what we want and what God wants. We can have my will and we can have his will. We can have it our way and then we can have it his way. And it's not how it works. When we surrender to the Lordship of Christ, when we say, God, would your son Jesus be the Lord and the Savior of my life? What we are doing is we are having a palate cleanser come in and cleanse us of what we want to taste. And we say, Lord, serve me what I need, not what I want. Back in Boston, there's a Korean fried chicken place. I don't know if you've ever tried Korean fried chicken, but Korean fried chicken is basically chicken that's fried twice. And then it's put in this incredible sauce, and it's really rich and really good. And so the first time I went there, our friends took us there, and then they brought out the chicken, and then they brought out this dish of radish, just this radishes. And I said, well, I won't be needing that. I'll just have this chicken. And then my friend said, no. In order for you to really taste the flavor of this chicken, over and over and over again, once in a while, you just need to have your palate cleansed by the radish. So like you'll eat chicken for a while, and then your palate will get so used to the chicken that you're not really tasting the flavor anymore. So you gotta cleanse your palate and then eat chicken again. And I don't like radish. I wouldn't choose radish. I don't want radish. I would send radish back. But you need the radish in order to taste the full flavor. Values Conference is the radish. It's the Saturday that you're like, really? Another church thing? Really? Another? Do we have to go? Yes. Because you need the radish to go back and taste again what God is doing in your church. You need the reset. You need that encouragement. You need that exhortation, that moment with the people of God to reset your palate and say, Lord, help me experience you again in my context in a fresh way. So that day at that Korean fried chicken spot with that radish, so many food analogies today, by the way, but it is called Hungry for More. We thank God for that. I'm reminded of what we need. As the people of God, we need that reset. And I pray that even in this breakout session, you would be encouraged to seek the Lord for a reset of your own palate. So those three things, right? The mixed palate, the familiarity, the snacks, three ways that we've lost hunger. So then I don't want to leave us like on a downward. I don't want to leave us on, all right, things are pretty bad, so how do we end this? The question then is, how do we reignite, restore a hunger for the things of God? Well, I started with the premise that hunger follows pursuit. So if we hunger for what we pursue, that means that for me to get a hunger for the things of God again, I need to put myself in environments where God is at work. And then He will. And then if I put myself in that environment, I'm going to see God at work and my hunger for Him will follow. I believe NYI is an environment where God is at work. And if we put our young people, we invite our young people into an environment where God is at work, they are going to see Him at work, and that hunger for Him will follow. Now, we have to trust that God's going to do what only He can do. It's not our job to save people. It's not our job to convert people. It's not our job to take young people out of a certain lifestyle and make them holiness unto the Lord people overnight. It's not our job to fix and wave a magic wand, but it is our job to create environments where young people can experience the power of God firsthand. And if we create those relational environments where God is at work and those young people can see God at work, I trust the Holy Spirit to then do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts and saves and redeems. And so we can spend all day long strategizing. How do we win the addict? How do we win the one that has an identity issue? How do we win that young person? How do we save that person? And we're going to spend our life trying to strategize things that only the Holy Spirit can do. So what we need to do is love well. What we need to do is create environments where God is at work. Love young people into the kingdom. See God do what only He can do. And I'm telling you, that appetite for God will be restored. And then Jesus' words will ring more true than ever. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Him, because they will be satisfied. Let me be really clear. Youth group won't satisfy. NYC won't satisfy. The pizza party won't satisfy. Max at Mid-America won't satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is an encounter with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I feel church this morning, this afternoon. Can somebody say amen to that? That's so good. So the long-term result of snacks and familiarity and all the other is a lack of fulfillment. The only thing that ultimately fulfills is an encounter with God. And that happens by putting yourself in an environment where you see God at work. NYI is Central Ave Bakery. It's the place where God is at work. And that when we get into that environment, the Holy Spirit is the one that will do the rest. So I walked out of that bakery that morning with 2 breakfast sandwiches, 2 coffees, and then I went back to my church and I told them this story. Do you know the amount of church members that have gone to Central Ave Bakery since then? Oh my goodness. I should get a cut of the proceeds after that sermon. And then I had a church member, God bless her, she bought me a gift card to Central Ave Bakery. And then what has happened is that my whole church has now become aware of this one place. That's what happens when you just tell the story. NYI has stories to tell. It's that one young person. It's that one church. It's that one youth group. It's that one encounter. It's that one thing that God did. When we tell our story, and we tell it well, I'm telling you, it has profound impact. Values Conference is a perfect opportunity for us to tell the stories of what God is doing. I think your story would encourage another youth leader. It would encourage another church. It would encourage another person to keep going. I think of my own story at NYC, and I want to end with this before I kind of probe some questions and we end this session. NYC was incredible last summer, July of 2023, we were there and it was sun shining. I mean, it couldn't get any better, right? We're at palm trees, right on the water, 10,000 Nazarene students, beautiful. But the week before NYC, I lost my grandfather and officiated his funeral just days before going to NYC. And I remember going to NYC broken. I mean, my grandfather was, we were close. We had a beautiful relationship. He wasn't sick. It was just it was a sudden loss for our family. It was painful. And I remember going to NYC to serve, like to be an NYC pastor, to serve that conference. And I went there for that purpose. But then at NYC, I felt like, okay, we're here for the students and we're here to serve. But yet I felt like I was served at that conference. Like I went to be a pastor and yet I was pastored. I went to serve and yet I was served. I went to lead young people into the presence of God, but I was led into the presence of God. And so I went to NYC and I remember the grief that I was still facing. And yet I was surrounded in this arena by thousands of young people. And I remember in a moment of worship, I don't remember what night it was, but we were singing this song, "All Hail King Jesus, All Hail the Savior of the World." And I just remember, like, in that moment, just feeling like the Holy Spirit of God is here. And I came expecting one thing. I came expecting to give, but I'm here receiving the comfort of God in this room. And the beauty of that week for me was that reminder that we're not doing this alone. We're part of a church. We're part of a family. And the Nazarene church at its best is this family that is standing united in this one mission to lift up the name of Jesus. I know that so much of what we do as a denomination is meetings and elections and votes and boards and committees, and I understand it's a time and a place, but that is not what is best about us. What is best about us is that we are a family united around the name of Jesus. The Church of the Nazarene at its best is Central Lab Bakery, a place where God is at work, and He is restoring spiritual hunger into a world that desperately needs Jesus. I would go so far as to say, the world doesn't need more of our committees, more of our elections, more of our documents, more of our boards. The world needs an encounter with Jesus. So the world needs us to tell our story. And if we tell our story, God will do the rest. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these holy moments spent in your presence. And Lord, in just a few moments, I've shared a bit from your word, but also shared my own experience. And God, I just pray that whatever resonated, whatever stuck, would go with us beyond these doors. Lord God, that we would be encouraged in our context, wherever we're coming from, whatever kind of leadership capacity we're in our churches, in our district. God, I pray that you would encourage us in that. Lord, I pray that youth leaders and young people would tell their story, and that together we would experience the mighty move of God in our churches and on this district. Father, this is my prayer. Just as a follower of Jesus, Lord, would you restore and pour out your Spirit over the Church of the Nazarene again? That's our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Folks, that's all I have for my notes, but I wanted to give an opportunity, if anybody had a question for me regarding anything, if I could be an encouragement to you, I'm here. This can be off the grid, this can be here in this context, but then I'll pass it off to Pastor Melissa if there's anything that needed to be shared. Does anybody have anything? Excellent. All right. Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.